can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacy, and I don't know if I've mentioned it on this podcast, but I have two sisters, both younger than me. I have a younger full sister, and then I have several years younger, a half-sister. And when my stepmother was pregnant with my half-sister, my father called and asked, what did I want, a younger brother or a younger sister? And I said I wanted a younger brother. And when he asked me why, I said, well, I already have a sister and I already know what that's like and I'm not sure I quite like it. So I'd like the other one just to see how that works. Because siblings can always be sort of funny. Family is complicated. But especially siblings that are the same gender, I think the relationship can be very interesting because there's more of a sort of comparison thing. And that can work in a number of different ways. You know, people want to be a lot like their older sibling in some cases, or in other cases, they constantly feel compared to their older sibling, and so they don't want to be anything like them. I don't think my younger full sister, which was the one I grew up with and we're much closer in age, I don't think she felt too compared to me after a certain amount of time because she definitely just went her own way. And certainly by the time we were both in middle school, if ever, and this did happen sometimes, I had a teacher and then she had the teacher the next year, the teacher learned very quickly, this is not Stacy 2.0. This is a very different child. They do their own things. We're actually not alike in most ways. So very quickly learned, you can't say, this is just the mini version of her sibling. Nope, she's her own person. But because I had sisters, I wanted a brother so bad. And part of that was that there aren't really guys in my family. I don't have any brothers, and my mother didn't have any brothers, so I didn't really grow up with any uncles either. And all of my cousins are like second cousins, two times removed or something along that, like not immediately of my parents' siblings' child. So I didn't really grow up with boys. Like I grew up with boys, obviously, in school, but I didn't grow up with like close family boys my age. So it's just like, I don't quite understand that relationship, really. And especially the relationship that brothers have with each other. Because it's not even I had my own brother. Like, if I had had two brothers, maybe I might have a sort of insight into it. But I had no brothers whatsoever and no male cousins to even watch from afar. So it's just like, there is definitely a difference, it seems, for a lot of people between two sisters and two brothers, and part of that is just the way we do gender roles, I guess, in our culture. And so, you know, the way boys are raised to react to things, the way versus the way girls are, even to each other. So I always find things about brothers very interesting. I'm always just sort of like, tell me more about this relationship that seems so strange and alien to me because I have no insight into it whatsoever. How do you do this as a brother with your brother? What does that mean? Like, me and my sister, fine, I got it. And so all the movies with sisters, I'm like, oh yeah, that's me. That's us. That's exactly how we do. I get that. With brothers, it's like, yes, but not quite. So I was quite interested in the two films for today because both are dealing with brothers, but in a slightly, they both deal with brothers, but in very, very different ways. So the first film is Ken. This is evidently based off of a short film called Bagman, which I hadn't heard of, but it says in like the credits somewhere, you know, that it's based off of this short film. And it's about a kid who finds an alien gun while doing some sort of adventure with his brother. And so they have to deal with both, you know, people who are coming after them in this adventure, because you see this in the trailer of him bringing out this alien gun of like, get away from my brother. So clearly it's not the aliens we're fighting at that point, but then also you have an alien gun. So how did you get that? And is somebody looking for that? I didn't really have a lot of expectations going into this film. Like almost none. I didn't really recognize the two main actors who play the brothers. I recognized Zoe Kravitz, and I did eventually recognize James Franco, though I didn't see him at first in the trailers I watched. And then it was later, I was like, oh, so you're the bad guy. I can just automatically tell by like your hair and the tattoo and that sweater, you're supposed to be the bad guy. Okay, got it. But I'm not sure what this film is about other than they're brothers and there's a space gun. Cool. Who's against them? Who are they fighting? What's the whole purpose of that? Like, is there a story here, or is it just like a, you know, sort of day in the life of two brothers who happen to find a space gun? Like, is this over a course of time? What is this film about other than brothers and space gun? Got nothing. So this is, even to start and explain it, this is about Elijah, who is a young man. I think he's 13 or 14 in this, something along that line. And he was adopted by Dennis Quaid and his wife, who are the parents of Jimmy, who is therefore Elijah's older brother through this adoption. And Jimmy has just gotten out of prison, and he clearly has a troubled past. And so he hasn't actually seen Elijah in 6 years. And so there's this very much strained relationship of, you're my brother, but only like legally speaking, because I haven't seen you in 6 years. And last time I saw you, you know, I was a child. And so I don't really remember you. So we're almost essentially brothers in name only, and not through any sort of, you know, bond of shared events or anything. But something happens where they are forced to go on the run. And along the way, they meet Zoe Kravitz while trying not to get caught from certain people. While also Elijah has this space gun that Jimmy doesn't even know he has at first. So that was very broad, and we're going to get into it a bit more, but first we're going to take a short break, so stay tuned.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We're currently talking about Kin, the newest sort of sci-fi-ish, adventurous film. Both of those are issues just because it's like you are, but you're not quite. But you technically, if I have to put you in a genre, I guess kind of are. So anyways, Elijah, the whole family lives in Detroit, and it's Detroit. So if you don't know about all the like sort of economic, social, cultural things going on about Detroit, it's just essentially there's like nothing. There's very little. They're not poor. Dennis Quaid, who plays the father, I think owns a construction company, but they're not well off either. And so Elijah has taken to scrapping metal from abandoned buildings around Detroit, and it's Detroit, so it's not like he can't find any. And while he's in one building looking for some scrap metal to take, he comes upon what is essentially a shootout, except it's not happening. It's the after effects of a shootout. It's bodies lying around. And these are clearly, theoretically, aliens because they're wearing strange helmets and they have strange technology. And he happens to see the space gun and he touches it, and it sort of recognizes his, it sort of syncs with his fingerprint or something. It syncs with him, it seems. But he is startled and drops the space gun and has to go back and get it later, which we then see can be recreated somehow by something. But so anyways, he has the space gun, which he hasn't told anyone about. Jimmy gets into trouble and has to take him on the run. And so he takes the space gun without telling Jimmy, not knowing that they're on the run. Jimmy does not even tell Elijah why they're on the run. He tells him that they're going on a camping trip or a road. They're going on a road trip to Tahoe, it seems. And then they think they're going to stay at a cabin there or something. But along the way, they get into more trouble because it seems Jimmy is just incapable of not getting into trouble. And like, that was a major frustrating part of the movie for me. It was like, look, Jimmy, I get it. You just got out of prison. You're not in the best situation. You're trying to get back on your feet and you're not getting, you know, perhaps enough support as you should. But at the same time, you are causing all of the problems. Pretty much every problem that comes up in this movie is because of you. Like, the reason they have to go on the run is because of Jimmy. And then when they meet Zoe Kravitz, she is working essentially as a stripper in a small town. And there's a whole complicated thing she hints at as to why she's there and can't leave. But he actually manages to get Elijah into the stripper club essentially by showing the bouncers a lot of money, and that's the only way he's allowed. But he gets a little drunk and starts to cause trouble, and then Elijah has to go and get the space gun, and Zoe Kravitz decides to go off with them because, hey, she didn't really want to stay at that strip joint anyways, even though it's like, these are two random people you've just met with a very strange weapon, and you're just like, eh. I mean, I guess lesser of two evils? I don't even know, but it's just like, Jimmy, what are you doing? It's like your every thought and decision is not the good one here. Why? And then they go and they wind up, I think, in Vegas or close to Vegas and end up at a casino. I'm just like, is this really what you think you should be doing at this time? Because you can't see how this is going to mess up. Really? You can't see how this is? Okay, fine. Just cause all the problems. Whatever. But anyways, while they're on this adventure, they're being hunted by two different parties, one of which at least Jimmy knows about, and the other neither of them know about. So the first party is led by James Franco, who is essentially the villain in this film, and he's clearly having a bit of fun with that role, because the costume designer was also clearly having a bit of fun. He's got this, like, not quite a mullet, but I'm not quite sure what your hair is doing, and a tattoo on his neck, but then he's wearing this like 1980s sweater. That's just like, that's not what I'd expect from the guy who very clearly would just, you know, shoot you as soon as look at you. He's pissed at Jimmy for something that he blames Jimmy for, even though, again, I kind of think it was his fault, but it was also kind of Jimmy's for being in the situation for that to happen. So it's just like, okay, fine, but you need a reason. You're the villain of the movie. Just go. He is clearly not quite sane, I'll go with. He has no problem just, like, being super dangerous and essentially shooting anyone or threatening to shoot anyone. I'm like, well, okay. I mean, I definitely don't want to mess with you because you clearly would kill someone as soon as look at them, but why exactly? These random people didn't really do anything to you, even if they're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. She's like, okay. But then there is this other party, which is made up of two aliens. I'm just going to go with aliens, who have come, it seems, to get the space gun. It's not quite clear, because when Elijah first comes across the gun, there's a scene with, you know, lots of bodies lying around because there was a shootout. And then he goes back because he kind of dreams about it. But all the bodies are gone. But the gun had been dropped down a hole on accident, and it's like sort of beeping or sending off a little signal sound. So he manages to find it by sound. And I'm just like, if people actually came back and cleaned up the bodies, none of them heard that sound? Really? But then the aliens come back, I guess, for the gun. because the bodies aren't there anymore. And it's like they went through the count and discovered they were missing a gun or something. It's not clear why they come back for this gun, why they didn't get the gun in the first place, and if they were the ones who cleaned up the bodies. But they clearly are looking for this gun, and they have the ability to track this gun when it's used. So when Elijah first pulls it out to protect Jimmy, he fires it off by accident because he's startled. And it clearly, it almost like, it has a few different modes. The main mode just sort of blasts things through, but then there's also like a vaporize mode. But he blasts essentially a hole in the wall, which allows him and Jimmy and Zoe Kravitz's character to escape, because obviously the people are not going to mess with the guy who can blast a hole through the wall. But that sends off like a little tracking location alarm to the two aliens who are searching for it to be like, ah, it's that way, essentially. And so they're also trying to catch up to Jimmy and Elijah to get this gun back. And then we get to the end and it's just like, look, I kind of got we were probably getting to like some sort of shootout here because you have a space gun. But this shootout is a little, I'll go with hard to believe for a number of reasons. And then you get to the very end and it's just like, wait, is this from a book series? I don't know that I knew at the time. I can't not remember if the credits that say this is based off of Bagman was at the beginning or the end. But we get to a certain point and I'm just like, oh, this feels like it's setting up for a sequel. Was this based off of a series? Is this like the first in a series of two or three or something? And I did see another review that says it would have worked better as like the first episode in a TV show. And I can kind of buy that because it's just like we get to the end and I'm trying not to spoil, but there's a certain actor who shows up. We haven't seen them at all until the end. And then they show up and I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing here? And also from the things you're saying, it sounds like there's a whole nother story we could go with this. And considering that you're involved, I would much rather see that story than this whole movie that I've just been watching. And I am very upset that it took you until like 10 minutes before the end to even give me a glimpse of, you know, something that looks much more promising than this. I don't even know what it is exactly I've been sitting through. I will say that the kid who plays Elijah is pretty good. I don't think I've ever seen him in anything before. This might have been his first thing, I'm not sure. I feel that Dennis Quaid, who plays the father, is not in this film enough. He's actually pretty good. And he's of the more sort of, I want to say hard knock school of life, but that's not what I mean. Tough love school. He actually does have a line at one point where he says, if I'm hard on you, it's because the world is hard. And I'm just like, I get you're trying in the best of your abilities. And unlike Jimmy, who just every choice of his seems to mess up, yours seems mostly to be good. And why are you not in this film more? But on the other hand, I feel like Zoe Kravitz was a bit in this film too much. I'm not quite sure why her character's there other than like we needed a girl. It seems for this film, we always have to have a girl sort of, if not love interest, chemistry interest, something. It's like, I feel like you could kind of have done this without Zoe Kravitz's character. Why are you even here? And also, what is this? Is there going to be a sequel? I don't know if this film did well enough for it to be a sequel, and I don't know if this film should do well enough for it to be a sequel, because I'm just like, till you get to like the last 10 of this movie, I'm just like, eh. And then you get to the last 10, and I'm like, that looks potentially promising. And then the film ends. Gee, thanks. So overall, not horrendous. I didn't have high expectations, but it didn't absolutely drive me crazy. But on the other hand, that sequel seems much more promising than anything this film showed, and it's not clear we're even going to get that sequel. So we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Thank you.
Hello, welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. Our second film about brothers today is Gook, which is set during the first day of the Rodney King riots. This is a very interesting film. I hadn't really heard of it before it came out last year. I think it probably did pretty strong in like the sort of indie festival circuit, but I hadn't heard of it coming to any mainstream films. It might have, I'm not sure. First and foremost, a warning, the language in this. Yeah, if people using cuss words at all bothers you, do not watch this film, because it feels like every fourth word for some characters is a cuss word, and pretty much everyone cusses, including the character of Camilla, who's only supposed to be like 11 or 12. So if you don't like language, just don't even watch this. But it is very interesting because this is taking place during the Rodney King riots, which were, you know, very famous historical event. But, and I didn't even know this until I was probably in my early 20s. I knew about the Rodney King riots. I knew that the riots happened because the police officers who beat up Rodney King were acquitted. I did not know about the whole aspect involving Asian shop owners that also played out there. So part of the tensions that were going on with Rodney King was not just, you know, black versus white, but there was also tensions between the local black residents and Asian, particularly Korean business owners, partly because there was somewhere along this feeling of like, you know, this is our neighborhood, this is the black neighborhood, but the Asians come in and they get to open the businesses and then they take our money and, you know, it's not in our neighborhood. There is some language things of like you people. Or at one point, there are these girls who are trying to get a discount and they tell one of the brothers that he's pretty cute for Asian. And it's like, okay, cute for any. Anyways, go on. So this is about two brothers, Eli and Daniel. And I did not know when I was going into this that both films would have brothers named Eli. That was not on purpose. That just happened. But they own a shoe store in Paramount and they're struggling to keep the shoe store open. While at the same time, there is Camilla, who is 11 years old. She's black. She tends to hang out at the shoe store, although her family doesn't like her doing that. And there's clearly some tension between Camilla's family and the brothers, though that's hinted at the whole film, but it's not ever explicitly stated too much. We do get, you know, explicitly stated what happened, but then there are some things said where I'm like, so wait, are you serious? Or does that not? What's with this? There's a picture that one of the brothers gives to Camilla. And I'm like, okay, but what's happening in that picture? I'm still a little confused on the exact relationship between the two families here. I get the gist and why they don't like each other. But what? But this is very interesting because it does then look at the Rodney King riots from, you know, the Asian American perspective, which again, I hadn't even heard of till I was 20. I had no clue there was anything going on about it. Part of the tension of that era was that a Korean business owner had shot a 15-year-old black girl. And so they were just like, man, we can't get any justice whatsoever. Let's just burn everything down because we're pissed. That's very much simplifying that whole situation. But I was very, very young when that happened. So I obviously was not, you know, having any firsthand knowledge of it. I do really like this film. It's very interesting. It's shot completely in black and white, and the style of the way it's shot, both with the color but also just the way camera angles are done, as well as the fact that it's dealing with, you know, these racial tension situation, makes it feel a bit like a mix of earlier Spike Lee films. It feels a bit like She's Gotta Have It meets Do the Right Thing. And that's not a bad sort of summing up of it. It works pretty well as that. I also really like the character of Eli, which is played by Justin Chun. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, who also wrote and directed this film. Eli is possibly just like the most lovable. He's really trying to get through in the same way that in Kin, Jimmy was trying, except totally kept messing up. Eli is a really decent person. He's really trying just to keep his father's store open. He clearly cares about Camilla to the point where he's almost essentially a surrogate brother for her. It's like, dude, I love you as a character and a human being so much. It's also very interesting that Justin Chung wrote and directed this. This was evidently based a bit off of his experiences where his family did actually own a store, I believe, in Paramount at the time of the Rodney King riots. And he just felt that that narrative hadn't been told as much because most, and again, that's how I knew it, focused on the anger of the white cops who got off for beating the black man and didn't focus too much on the Asian perspective for that. I also quite like Camilla, and the actor who plays Camilla is pretty good in this. She is... It's the characters in this, all of the characters feel very real. They don't feel like stereotypes or like stand-ins of, oh, okay, that's the angry black man or whatever. The closest I think you do get with that would be Camilla's brother, Keith. But the director did talk about how he specifically tried, and this is partly what comes down to the tension between Camilla's family and the brothers. He didn't want that to just be, oh, angry, violent black man stereotype, and tried to give him a reason of why he's angry, tried to explain that. And I get it, but of all of them, again, Keith feels the least fully realized as far as individual person, not, ah, the black man, the black woman, the Asian guy, the whatever. He feels the most of like an archetype almost. But for the rest, I thought the film was really good. Simone Baker as Camilla, I believe she was just 11 and turned 12 while filming this. She is given nothing incredibly too emotionally heavy except for one scene involving her family members. But because she's placed in this almost too grown role, like it's so interesting when we first get to her and we see her leaving her house and she's supposed to go to school and then she doesn't. And instead she ends up at the brother's shop, and the people she interacts with during that time and the way she interacts with them, I'm just like, look, I am not at all from the LA area, so I have no idea what it would be like growing up there, but you are very just calm and casual and cussing quite a bit. That would certainly not have been the way my mother would have allowed me to speak at that time, with people, just random people on the street that you, it seems you see every day, but that certainly I would not be like talking to. I'd be like, I'm just gonna walk very quickly by and please don't talk to me and please don't bother me. I don't want any trouble. And she's just like, yeah, this is life and moving on. And again, everyone in this film seems, you know, they're trying to do their best with what they've got, again, except for Keith, who's just set up to be not a good brother for Camilla. And I feel like if he had maybe had that, that might have helped. But then if he had that, that wouldn't have made the relationship between Camilla and the two Korean brothers, Eli and Daniel, as powerful as it was. So it was just hard to not make that a stereotype. I like the discussions they get between like the two brothers and the older Korean gentleman who owns the liquor store across the street, which is actually played by the director's father, who I believe was the one who did actually own the store at the time of the real riots. It's quite amazing. Just, I knew that this film was not shot, you know, within the first few years after the riots, but it takes you so much back to that time that I would have thought, I was like, you can't be more than like 10 years removed or 15. What? This was shot, like, this just came out last year? Seriously? And I think that's partly helped by the black and white footage. This was a well-done film looking at a well-known historical event, but from a very different angle. And I'm quite interested now to see going forward what Justin Chung does and also what the actress Simone Baker, who played Camilla, does. So that's it for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.